As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita's Old Cowtown Museum Director, Jackie Gerzen. Welcome to Issues 2021, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I say Old Cowtown Museum Director, not meaning you're old, but Old Cowtown Museum. I don't want to insult you. Let's begin with a little background. How long have you been with Cowtown now?
I started part-time with Cowtown in November of 2007. And then I went full-time as the volunteer coordinator in 2011 and got promoted to director in 2016.
I was going right up the ladder there. What did you do?
Yep.
What did you do before that, Jackie?
I was a stay-at-home mom before I started working here.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
But do you have an educational background or something that would equip you to be a museum?
History.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a bachelor's in history.
There you go. That would do it.
Yep.
So have you had a good experience with Cowtown?
Oh, I love it here. It's one of the best places you could possibly be. It really is. It's such a cool place. You get to teach history every day, and the staff and the volunteers were like a family, and you can't replace that. It's one of the most unique places in the world, I would say.
Where are you from originally, then?
I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota, where I was born.
Okay.
And then, I've lived in Wichita since I was 10. So basically from Wichita.
And where did this interest in history come from? When did you first realize that?
That was my mom. She used to, when we'd go on road trips, we stopped at every historical marker. She taught me about history, about women's history. One of our favorite places to go was Hannibal, Missouri, because that's where Mark Twain was from, and so we'd learn all about him. And, yeah, she just really instilled in me how important it was. And then when I was in high school, I won the National History Day competition and got to go to Washington, D.C., and was like, yep, this is what I want to do forever.
Now, that Washington will get you hooked. And I went to my brothers and I visited Hannibal when we were kids, too.
That's such a neat place.
It is. Hey, tell us a little bit about the museum. How did Cowtown Museum come about?
Cowtown started in the 1950s. It was actually incorporated in 1950 and opened to the public in 1955. And it started basically as a way to preserve our local history. So there's a couple of interesting stories. One, we have the first house ever in Wichita, the Munger House. And it was inside of a mansion called Lakeside Mansion. And when they were tearing that down, they wanted to preserve the original Munger House that was inside. So that was moved to Cowtown, or what was going to become Cowtown. And then the church that we have was one that Marshall Murdoch, who started the Wichita Eagle in 1872, his son Victor remembered the church building from his childhood and said, if anything ever happens, we need to make sure that we preserve that building. I don't want anything to happen to that building. Well, Victor passed on, and then there was a fire in the church, and his friends remembered what he said about wanting to preserve that building. So then that building came to Cowtown, along with a house that was with it that at the time was called the Parsonage, but we found out later had a much cooler history to it. It actually belonged to one of the first African-American families in Wichita. And I guess because it was donated in the 50s, they kind of glossed that over and just said, here's the church and here's the Parsonage. And then when our curator started doing research, I think it was around 2011, discovered through census records and address records that that actually was one of the first African-American homes. And the church was used as a boarding house, the what they called the first colored boarding house.
Wow.
Back then. So that's got a really cool history to it, too. Yeah.
And the other one that was a house that was actually within a house. They built a house around a house. Is that what they did?
They did, yeah. Mr. Munger built the Munger House in 1868, and then he sold it to W.C. Woodman in, I think, 1874. I could be off on that. And Woodman proceeded to build a mansion that he called the Lakeside Mansion around that house. Our administration building is actually modeled on the mansion that was built around the Munger House.
Now, is the museum near the actual spot where Wichita began as a town? I understand it was first a trading post and then became a town. Is it pretty close to the spot?
Right. The first house, like the Munger House, was at 9th and Waco. So that was kind of the center of town at the time. So we're a little bit off, but not very far.
Mm-hmm.
We're not terribly far from where Wichita started.
Now, how is a museum financed? How do you pay for the operation day to day?
The city of Wichita funds our operations. So most of our expenses are paid for by the city of Wichita. We also have a nonprofit board that is responsible for the collection, and they supply money for our educational programs and to support our volunteers and our volunteer programs.
And is it an admission charge as well? Is that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we charge $9 for adults, $8 for seniors, $7 for older kids, and $6 for little kids. Okay. And then really little kids get in for free. So,
talk about the COVID pandemic and its impact on Cowtown's operation.
That was a big blow to us. We ended up being closed for 2.5 months during the pandemic. We're now open. We've been open regular hours. We still have the mask mandate in place. As long as the county has that in place, we'll have, you know, we'll require mask wearing here. We did have to close a few of the buildings because they were too small to allow social distancing. So we've kept those closed. We had to modify how our saloon was run. We've definitely seen a drop in attendance, you know, as people are being cautious and staying home and everything. So we're hoping that we'll be able to bounce back this year, especially toward the later part of the year. We did have to cancel some of our events last year as well, including our Christmas event, which was very sad. It was our 45th year of doing the Christmas event, and we weren't able to have that. So hopefully the end of this year will bring a lot of good things.
Well, right. But as far as attendance is concerned, what is usual for attendance at Cowtown in a year's time?
Right around between 65 and 70,000.
Okay.
Is usually what we get per year.
A little bit lower this past year then, okay.
Oh, much lower. It was depressing when I ran the numbers for 2020.
Right.
It was like, we're just going to not count that.
Well, you're not alone, that's for sure. What about the impact on your employees? Did you have to lay somebody off, or did you?
We did, yeah. Unfortunately, we did have to lay off one employee. And we ended up having to cut hours for some of our part-time seasonals before the end of the year. But it looks like we'll be okay for our part-time seasonals. We're not going to be able to bring back that full-time position, though, with the way the budget looks for this year. So,
Is that a possibility of working from home in Cowtown's operation or not?
Yeah, we did have, when we closed down, most of the staff, except for myself and our farm manager, did a majority of their work from home.
Mm, okay. Well, are things beginning to open up for you? Are things looking better, you think?
I think so, yeah. I'm really excited. We've designed this third Sunday vendor fair that we're doing this year, and the response to that from local vendors has just been amazing. I mean, people are itching to have something to do, you know, with all the craft fairs being closed and not having any Ren fairs and things like that that people normally go to. The vendors are pretty excited, and we decided as a service to the community, we're not charging any kind of fee. We're just letting them come and sell their wares to try to help people get back on their feet.
So, I'm sorry, how does that work? Did they come in and vendors come in and just, as you say, sell their wares then inside?
Yep, they come in and set up their tents and set up their tables, and our guests get to come in and do all the shopping that they want to all day long.
Okay. And is that every Sunday?
It's the third Sunday of every month.
Third Sunday of every month. Okay, very good.
Yep.
Now tell us about your other big events that you either had or you're going to have this year. What do we got to look forward to then?
We have got a ton of events planned for this year,
good.
And that was a lot of it had to do with we did have to cancel some events that were basically brand new to us last year. We didn't get to hold them, and so we were kind of frustrated and said, "Well, you know what? Let's just see how many we can, we can fit in there." So we have starting off with our Civil War weekend at the end of April. We've got that. We have our children's storybook event in May, which is called Once Upon a Time, and that one's really fun. We have characters from all sorts of different stories that appear that the kids can interact with. We have a Yellow Brick Road and all the characters from Wizard of Oz, and we have Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf and the whole cast of Alice in Wonderland and Tom and Huck from Tom Sawyer. So we have really interactive stuff for the kids to do, and we're planning some social media stuff to go with that to introduce kids to some of the stories and to kind of build that up. And then we're bringing Little House on the Prairie back. We tried that a few years ago, and it got iced out. We tried it at the beginning of April, and we had a freak ice storm, and so we didn't get to have that the way we wanted. So we're bringing that one back. Another exciting thing we have is we have the Kansas State Cowboy Fast Rock Championship in June. So that's one that we're super, super excited about. Bring in groups from all over the region to compete in a fast rock competition. And then we have our regular events like Celebrate America, Steampunk, National Day of the Cowboy. We've got People of the Plains, which has been a very popular event. And that kind of brings in different groups. Like we've got Buffalo Hunters and Native Americans. We've got the Buffalo Soldiers, Civil War Soldiers, and then all the townspeople. So it's kind of the story of everybody who helped make the West what it is. That's what People of the Plains is.
You also do something for holidays, like you have something for Halloween, something for Christmas.
We do. Yeah. Our Halloween event is called Hey Ho's at Halloween, and it's our children's trick-or-treating event. So we do that for 2 days and decorate the whole town for Halloween. The Headless Horseman rides through town. We have a zombie gunfight. We have dancers in the streets. All sorts of really neat stuff for the kids. And then we have an adult one now. We started an adult one. That was one good thing that came out of 2020 was we started an adult Halloween event. So we had a band and drinks and a haunted house set up, and it was a lot of fun.
You're listening to Issues 2021 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita's Old Cowtown Museum Director, Jackie Gerson. Where do Cowtown visitors come from?
We have quite a few people that come from here in Wichita, but a lot of our visitors are from out of town. So we have visitors from about 55 different countries, from all 50 states. We've had people traveling. There was one guy that came from Alaska, and his only purpose of coming to Kansas was just to come to Cowtown. So we get visitors from all over the place. We have a lot from Germany. And I'm not really sure why, but people from Germany love the Old West, I guess. So we get a lot of great visitors from Germany that are real fun to talk to. And but we do have a lot of local support, too. We have a lot of regulars that are from Wichita that we've gotten to know either by sight or by social media.
Before we go any further, I think we were talking about events and so forth. It might be well just to pitch that web page real quick, because I know you got all your information on there. What is it?
And the most up-to-date information is on our Facebook page, which is just Old Cowtown Museum.
Then
we also have our website is www.oldcowtown.org.
Tell us about the use of Cowtown as a film set.
It has been used in multiple movies. We just recently had a premiere for a movie that was filmed here called Death Alley. But it's also been used in the time I've been here for several independent films. There's one called Wichita, one called Bender. We've been in documentaries through the History Channel, the Travel Channel, and then there were some bigger names back in the '90s. They did the Sarah Plain and Tall films that had Glenn Close and Christopher Walken in them, and those were filmed out here.
They were. I can attest to that, because I used to run right past there over there, over on the river where the path is. You know where I'm talking about.
The bike path.
One afternoon while I was running, I looked over there, and sure enough, there was Glenn Close in the street, and they were filming it. And I just stopped to watch for a little bit, and I said, "Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
That's cool." And I continued my run. How do you work with other Wichita museums? Do you coordinate tours and other visits? Things like that?
Yeah, we certainly do. We've got some with the Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. We do joint school trips with them, also with Botanica, since they're, you know, our close neighbor. And we've helped out with some events over at Museum World Treasures. They're just the nicest people. So we try to work with the other institutions in the community as much as we can.
Do you entertain schools for educational visits, Ben?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have a lot of schools. Obviously, the pandemic slowed that down, so we don't have
right,
you know, any of those right now. But usually, we see a lot of school children. Usually, we have four or five schools out here a day during the spring, during April and May.
Were they primarily from Wichita, or are you getting people from out in the county and other counties for the educational part of it?
Yeah, we get a lot of kids from Sumner County, and those are a lot of the joint programs that we do with Wichita-Sedgwick County Historical Museum. But then we also have all the Wichita schools, Mays, Derby, Goddard, all those surrounding districts.
Now, what do visitors say is their favorite part of the Cowtown visit? Is there one or two things that they stand out?
A lot of the people love to see, like, the crafts and the things that we've got on grounds, like the print shop, when there's the printer printing in the print shop, or there's the blacksmith is at work. Blacksmith is hugely popular with everybody. Those are the kind of standout things, those in the shows. And unfortunately, we haven't had those for a while. The Dixie Lee Saloon Girls probably won't be out until fall. And our Victorian dancers, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to perform yet. Basically, it all just depends on the path of COVID.
I know. Everything does, it seems. Tell us about Cowtown's availability for private events, Jackie.
We have pretty good availability because of the amount of buildings that we have. So we offer up our visitor center, and it's the most popular wedding location just because it's on the river. It's beautiful. And then we offer weddings in our little church, which are for smaller weddings. And then we have our theater, which is kind of a mid-sized venue. And then you can also rent the saloon if you want to, and our dance hall. So we have a couple different options depending on the size of your event and what you need. We've got many different options to suit you.
Well,
we also offer a full rental of the grounds, but that's really expensive.
It is? I was just thinking that my class, my high school reunion, our 10-year reunion, our first reunion was held at Cowtown.
We
graduated from Form West, which is not too far from there. And Cowtown was close to our hearts. We were pioneers, you know. So we had the 10-year, and I think you gave us the run of the place, so we probably spent too much money. But
not have been as expensive.
Well, we were good. We had great weather, and we just had a terrific evening. And so if the weather cooperates, you're going to do fine.
That's one of our biggest things is the weather. We always have an eye on the weather.
Well, tell us about, you've got a farm there, right? Tell me about the farm.
Yes. Yeah, we do. We've got our 1880s DeVore farm that's obviously sponsored by the DeVore family, which is why it's named that. And it includes a farmhouse that dates to 1884 that was built by Homer Smith, actually. And then it has several outbuildings. We have a paddock and a pasture where we've got our cow, Rosie. She's very popular. She's a sweetheart.
Rosie.
And then we have a chicken coop and a lot of ornery chickens in there. And we have room for some expansion to hopefully add some more animals later.
I like the grain elevator. I don't know why, but that fascinates me. Where did that come from?
That was brought in from Bentley. And we actually, Cowtown won a restoration award for the restoration work on that grain elevator back in the late 1980s, I believe.
Okay.
And it is the only working grain elevator of its kind in North America.
Whoa, how about that? Now, you talk about restoration. I'm sure that's huge. You got to keep things up to date, even though they're ancient history. Who are the people that do that? Are you have some pretty skilled craftspeople who help you with that?
Yeah, and most of that is done by the City of Wichita Public Works Department.
Okay.
Yeah. So they do most of the maintenance on the buildings and restoration work that we need done on the buildings. As far as the artifacts go, that just depends on, you know, what it is. We have to find somebody who specializes in whatever type of artifact we're looking at restoring or preserving.
I was talking with somebody the other day who's a good friend of mine who's in the, I'm not going to say who it is, but somebody who's in the museum business in Wichita. And we were talking about the possibility of you or somebody bringing a train in there. You know what I'm saying? Remember that at Joyland, they had this train that went around. And I rode it every time, even as an adult, because I just loved it. But is there any plans on doing something like that?
It's been talked about, but there's nothing concrete yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been discussed, and it would be really, really cool. But we don't have any firm plans yet.
And you talked about it a little bit more, please, about using the entertainment or the visitor center for entertainment. Because I think I've been to something there with the Prairie Rose people or something like that.
The visitor center is a beautiful building. It was built in 2005 and has a beautiful, great room with a big fireplace and a lot of windows. So it makes for a great environment for wedding receptions, weddings, reunions, parties.
Does it have a kitchen?
It doesn't have a full kitchen.
Not a full kitchen.
It has a partial kitchen. Okay. Yeah, it's got a microwave and a fridge, but no stove.
So how many people will that accommodate on a nice party without getting too close to each other?
About 150.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Tell me about the importance of volunteers and what you do at Countdown.
Oh, our volunteers are critical to what we do. They are some of the most dedicated, kind people. We have a group of about 250 to 300 volunteers, depending on the year. And they do everything from, we've got a cleanup day coming up where they're going to come out and help us clean up the grounds and get ready for the busy season. And then they also do things like we've got specialized groups. We've got our dance hall girls. We've got our Victorian dancers. We have two different gunfighting groups. We have a baseball team, our social club, which they're a group of really nice older ladies. They do sell baked goods and different things, crafts, handmade stuff at different events. Mm. And all the money that they raise, they give back to the museum. Mm. So they've done projects like supplying curtains for buildings, redoing floors, supplying paint and different things. So they're a really, really great group. Mm. And then we have the individual volunteers that aren't part of a group, but they still contribute. They come out and do interpretation. They come out and help us clean. So we're really lucky because with a facility this size and a staff as small as ours is, we really rely on the volunteers to help us fill in kind of the gaps in what we do.
Anything new and exciting in the plans for Cowtown?
Right now we've got, we're trying to raise funds to build a Carriage Works building. And the main impetus for that is that we need more space for what we call our rolling stock collection, which is like wagons, buggies. We have a 1860s stagecoach and different things. And all those are not on display right now. They're in a storage building. And so this would give us room to store and display those so the public could actually see them. Plus tell a little bit more of Wichita's story, you know. There's a few businesses that we don't have, and a Carriage Works is one of them. And a Carriage Works was very important in the city, and we also have a couple buildings that were donated by the family that ran the Carriage Works. Mm-hmm. So the McKenzie Carriage Works is the one that we're going to be copying. It was called the Wichita Carriage Works, but it was owned by the McKenzie family. And we have two homes that were donated by them. So it kind of ties in, you know, their donation with also telling their story and telling that piece of Wichita history. And we get to display more pieces for the public to see.
Well, it's been a tough year, but let's keep our fingers crossed that we're going to have maybe later this summer, things will start opening up. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
We don't want another year like this, do we?
No.
It's been so tough.
It's so sad.
It's sad and it's tough. Well, all our best to you, and we appreciate it. As a history buff myself, I appreciate what you're doing there. Used to run around at Cowtown when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and so it's just been a part of my life of all these many years, and we sure thank you for what you're doing and salute all the volunteers and folks that I just know it's going to be a better year ahead for everybody, and especially for you folks at Cowtown. Jackie, as always, thanks for spending some time with us here on The Issues Show. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Then our guest is Wichita's Old Cowtown Museum Director, Jackie Gerzen. That's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.